Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
It's day three of the Republican National Convention in Cleveland. As if people need reminding, everybody's been paying quite a bit of attention. Tonight, VP nominee Mike Pence will speak. So will Marco Rubio. I think his voice is going to be fed into the arena. Ted Cruz will be here. They're, of course, two of Trump's toughest former rivals. Observing it all, about 15,000 journalists, including foreign correspondents, reporting for outlets around the world. Three of them join us now. James Andre is senior correspondent for the television network France 24. James, welcome.
Thank you. Hello.
We also have Mark Bassett, U.S. correspondent for El País. That's a daily newspaper based in Madrid. They also publish editions for Brazil and Latin America. Mark, welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
And sitting between you, Gary O'Donohue, Washington correspondent for the BBC. Gary, hello.
Thanks, Robin. Hi.
And I want to start with you, Gary, our BBC partner. We well know that Donald Trump has already gotten into some hot water. The Muslim London mayor, I think, has banned him after Trump talking about banning Muslims from coming to the U.S. What's the reaction in Britain to Donald Trump getting this far, the nominee?
Well, of course, Britain's been involved in its own political soap opera for the last few months, Robin, as you've seen, what with Brexit and the exit of one prime minister and the chaos in the opposition Labour Party. So nothing really surprises, but there is a fascination with Donald Trump in Britain. More than 500,000 people signed a petition trying to stop him coming to the country, which ended up even potentially getting talked about in Parliament. So, yeah, there is an absolute fascination with what's happening. But I think there's a recognition, too, that he has tapped into something that's not just a phenomenon in the United States. This anti-politician sentiment is present in Britain. I know Mark will tell you it's present in Spain as well. This is something that's happening everywhere, and it's something people are sort of, I think, struggling to understand and also fascinated with at the same time.
Well, you mentioned Mark. Again, Mark Bassett's again with El País there in Madrid. Are people who want to exit Brexit, who feel that there should be boundaries and walls, and they've had it with what they see as too many refugees, too much immigration, are they identifying with Donald Trump's followers here in the U.S.?
Yes, I think that in Europe there are a lot of movements and politicians which have points in common with Donald Trump. Donald Trump is a very, and it's seen from the outside as a very American phenomenon. Only in America someone like Donald Trump can get to be a candidate to the presidency. But it's also a global phenomenon with many points in common with the Front National in France, with in some aspects with the Brexit movement, and with populist movements left and right, some of them in Spain as well, which are tapping into the fears of globalization, for instance. Mm-hmm. Also right-wing movements who are using stoking fears about immigration. And in this sense, Trump, I think, is very American, but also very European.
Well, James from France, weigh in on that. And first, our sincere condolences for just the horror that your country is seeing. You're nodding acceptance of that. You know, just terrible. But how are people in France viewing the Trump candidacy?
Well, you know, people are very surprised at the result, the fact that Trump is being nominated right now. But the fact of the matter is, you know, we have a very large Muslim community in France, and it's true that it's been a real challenge over the past few months. I mean, we've had November 13th, you know, the attack on the Bataclan in Paris. Now we have Nice just a few days ago. But despite all that, people are still shocked at the idea that you could, you know, for example, ban Muslims from the United States, as Donald Trump has said it, until you figure things out. That's another shocker in a way. I mean, it's a very unclear statement. So, you know, we're trying in France right now, our politicians are trying to bind society together. They've realized that the whole point is to destroy the French society, to break it into two parts, Muslims and non-Muslims, and they're trying to prevent that. So it's true that seeing this kind of rhetoric here in the United States from Donald Trump is kind of shocking to part of the audience in France. But on the other hand, it's important to remember we have, you know, Marine Le Pen, you were saying, what about her? She's also tapping into that sentiment, but she would probably not go that far.
Yeah. And by the way, you are working for France 24 in France by way of... That is not a French accent.
My mother's British.
Okay, there you go. Well, let's listen to former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani speaking at the convention on Monday.
In the last 7 months, there have been 5 major Islamic terrorist attacks on us and our allies. We must not be afraid to define our enemy. It is Islamic extremist terrorism.
And a big crowd cheer. Anybody pick up? Who wants to jump in on that? How is, you know, this is playing off what we've been talking about, but start with you, Gary, again, BBC. How's that being heard?
Well, I think, I mean, one of the big motivating factors behind the Brexit vote was this fear about the movement of people. There's been a lot made of people crossing borders in Europe, coming to France and to other places, Belgium and Britain. And that was undoubtedly one of the big fears that played into the no vote, the vote to leave the EU. Because, of course, the European Union, one of its fundamental freedoms, is this freedom of movement. It's about tearing down borders, and it is easy to move across, and people don't like that because Britain particularly has experienced high levels of migration, and for many, many years a lot of politicians in Britain ignored that. And they failed to see, I think, that, how do you put it, actually quite normal, reasonable, nice people were worried about some aspects of these levels of migration. They were frightened to say so because they would be called racist, but they were worried about the impact on public services like education, like hospitals, like the question of housing, the amount of housing in a small island like we've got. And politicians have paid a price for that in many ways, for not realizing there were reasonable concerns. And the Islamic threat, I think, plays into that too, because of course Britain, not on the scale of France, has suffered, but Britain has had its 7/7, where we had 51 people killed on the underground in London by bombs, and of course we had a soldier slain on the streets of London just in 2013.
The machete attack, indeed. Yeah. But James, I want to switch gears and talk about a different aspect of the Donald Trump candidacy. This is a beautiful family that, you know, that has starred on television shows. It's when you see the lineup of the Donald Trump extended family and Mike Pence, the VP nominee, and his wife and daughter, you feel that someone has to tell them how to put their feet, because the Trump women know how to stand like models. And there's something else reverberating out of that family. How's that being received in France?
Well, I think, you see, this is something that is very, very different from the way we do politics in France. Like, for example, we never see the son or the daughter of a politician running for president on the stand talking. Probably you might get a glimpse of his or her spouse, but that's very much it. So it's true that to us it's very remarkable to see all this, let's say, family marketing around the candidate. That's something which culturally is completely different.
You're not just getting a candidate. You're getting a dynasty and a corporation.
Exactly. But you see, the dynasty thing is, like, for example, in France, like, you could say maybe the platform of Hillary Clinton is more palatable to, like, French public, because there's less, you know, some positions are less extreme and maybe less shocking to the French public. But on the other hand, she is seen as a member of a dynasty. She's the wife of Bill Clinton. She was, you know, she was the foreign affairs secretary. She obviously is very well known to the French public. So funnily enough, where there was, like, for example, huge excitement about Barack Obama, about Michelle Obama, for example, that's a family, as you say, the family thing. Mm-hmm. That's a family that is really loved in France. People, you know, look up to this family. But and the Trump thing is maybe slightly different in its context, but it's true that the dynastic thing is something which is quite shocking to the French.
It's very shocking to us in Britain as well, because usually in Britain, if you start parading your family out there, then that's a politician that's in trouble, right? This is someone who's trying to deflect criticism. Usually at a convention like this in Britain, the leader would make their speech and the spouse might pop up on the stage and give a quick peck on the cheek and a little wave to the crowd, then they'd disappear. You certainly wouldn't parade children every night of the week on the stage, because politicians in Britain would believe that's asking for trouble. That's opening the book, creating open season for the press to go after and examine the children, and that's the last thing they want.
Well, these people are open books. They've written books about themselves. But Mark, and not just this idea that this was a television show host, but our process, that this takes a week, that the Democrats will take a week. That it's been a year. How do Spaniards care at all about that?
It's difficult to explain this, that the electoral campaign lasts for more than a year. I've been covering this since approximately May last year, May 2015. So this long process is purely American, as is the conventions. It's a very television show, mainly.
It is a television show. Well, and just very briefly, we've got about a minute here. And James, I'll just ask you. We're also seeing real division between Americans. There's huge differences between the parties this time around. Does that concern people in France?
Oh, well, quite clearly. I mean, people in France are concerned about the American election, that's for sure. But as far as division is concerned, it's absolutely incredible to hear things on the floor that we do here, such as, for example, you know, talking about Hillary Clinton.
Senator Jail.
Yeah, you know, Senator Jail. I actually heard on the floor somebody say, lynch her. And you ask yourself the question when you're there, you're thinking, okay, is this just a big show? Or what would happen if Hillary Clinton actually walked into this room? Would she literally be lynched by these people? You see like this concentrated, you know, mix of people which sharing these ideas. And it's quite surprising for a French journal.
And I think it's because you've got this polarization in America. In Europe, you've got multiple parties.
Well, we're going to have to leave it at that. And that chilling thought. Gary O'Donoghue just speaking, Washington correspondent for the BBC. Before that, James André from France 24, Mark Bassett's El País in Madrid. Thank you for the view from abroad. And we hear the astonishment of politics. Thank you.